Solomonster here. Before we get into the AEW Dynamite review from last night, just a quick note. If you notice that the audio sounds a little wonky or even a little staticky, it is not an issue on your end. It is not your speakers. It is not your headphones. I didn't realize it until after I was done. Some people had pointed it out. You might not even notice it, but if you do hear a little bit of static noise, it was some kind of glitch that happened in the audio last night. Could have been the way the wire was plugged in, but in any event, not your fault. Only an issue on my end. It should be resolved. So I apologize if anybody notices it. Otherwise, enjoy the show. 3 days out from Full Gear, AEW Dynamite was live tonight from Indianapolis. And this is your AEW Dynamite review here for Wednesday, November 10th, 2021. I am the Solomonster. Thank you guys so much for joining me here on a Wednesday night. There you see Beavis on the screen rocking out. That's how we like to start these streams. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Tonight was as good of a go-home show as I can remember for a pay-per-view in a very long time. As somebody in the chat said, I believe Quizzical won. They could have easily phoned it in tonight, but they didn't. Tonight was a very enjoyable show, top to bottom. I thought it was excellent. I think the only thing I really didn't enjoy was the idea that this whole Orange Cassidy, Matt Hardy feud is still continuing. I don't quite know why this thing is still ongoing, but aside from that, this was a very strong episode of Dynamite. Dax Harwood and Pac went out there and had a one-on-one match, and Dax is not known for being a singles wrestler, but the two of them went out and had the best match of the night. I thought the contract signing to end the show, making the World Championship match official between Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, was exactly what it needed to be. And I don't see how anybody can watch that final segment tonight and think that it is not the right time for Hangman Page to win the title. Unless your name is Bully Ray. Apparently, if your name is Bully Ray, from what I'm reading and what I'm seeing, it's not the right time for Hangman Page to win the world title. But thankfully, I'm not Bully Ray. Hit that thumbs up. If you are not already subscribed to the channel, please go ahead and do so. Hit that sub button. Super chats are open. As you can tell, some of them are already popping up. I will be reading all of your super chats a little bit later on here in the stream. And I want to show some love to our friends at WrestleRumble.com. WrestleRumble.com is hosting its Full Gear Pick'em. First place winner can walk away with $1,000 cash. Go to WrestleRumble.com. You can buy your entry. You answer a series of prop questions about the pay-per-view, things that you think are going to happen, all kinds of questions. You can buy your entry right now, and again, first place winner walks away with $1,000, second place $100, and third place $100 as well. Always, always fun stuff going on at Wrestle Rumble. So they opened the show tonight hot, and this was actually my second favorite match of the night. The American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, who is wrestling Miro on Saturday in the finals of the World Title Eliminator. Bryan Danielson, who has been on a tear in AEW so far. He has, I believe, after tonight, 8-0-1 record. But what has been very noticeable about his matches is the fact that he has won every single one of his matches, that he has walked away with the win in different ways. No one match, no one finish has looked the same. He's not winning all of his matches with the running knee. He's not winning all of his matches with the lapel lock. He beat Nick Jackson with the cattle mutilation. He's won matches in various ways, including tonight, against Rocky Romero, New Japan Pro Wrestling's Rocky Romero, making his Dynamite debut. He did wrestle once before earlier this year in May on Elevation, but tonight was the first time we got to see Rocky here on the main show. And before the show, and this put a smile on my face before Dynamite even went on the air. I saw Tony Khan tweet about this earlier on. There was a segment that they shot backstage. Rocky Romero is in the back with best friends. He's in the back with Orange Cassidy, Chris Statlander, Chuck is there, Chucky T, and Rocky is with them, and Wheeler Yuta was there as well. And he announces that his very best friend in the whole wide world, which is a shoot, two of them are very good friends, Kazuchika Okada, one of the very best in the world today, Okada has invited the members of Best Friends to become members of the Chaos faction, of which Rocky is a part of. Rocky Romero is part of Chaos in New Japan. And no greater authority than Okada himself has extended the invitation for Best Friends and Orange Cassidy to become members of the Chaos faction. That means that Orange Cassidy and Toru Yano are now part of the same group. I'm trying to wrap my head around this. It just blows my mind that Orange Cassidy and Yano are now part of the same group. There were actually quite a few Okada name drops and Okada mentions here in this opening match on the show, which gives me a lot of hope that the Rainmaker is coming. I think we always knew at some point that this would happen. They've teased Tanahashi before as well. But the Rainmaker, if he isn't already, is coming to the United States in these next few days because he's going to be wrestling Buddy Matthews, the former Buddy Murphy, is making his New Japan debut this Saturday, Battle in the Valley out in California. He's wrestling Okada. So Okada, if he isn't already here, is coming to the U.S. I don't know how long he'll be here for. Unfortunately, the Battle in the Valley is in California. Full Gear is in Minnesota. So Okada will not be at Full Gear this weekend. However, there is next week's Dynamite. And if Okada doesn't run right back to Japan, there is always the possibility that we could see him make some kind of appearance maybe next week on AEW television. Who knows? Whether it happens this week or next week or at some point down the road, I think we can expect a Rainmaker appearance at some point. So, Bryan Danielson and Rocky Romero, two men who broke into the business around the same time. They have a little bit of history together going back many years. And they shook hands at the beginning of this match. A lot of technical back and forth, really, you know, chain wrestling and counters and kind of feeling each other out here at the beginning of this match. Danielson ends up out on the floor and he confronts Orange Cassidy, who is taunting him by putting his hands in his pockets. And as he's doing this, Rocky Romero's in the ring. He sees what's going on. He uses this distraction as an opportunity to hit the ropes and come off with a suicide dive. And he nails Danielson with the, say the way Excalibur does, the tope suicida. Takes out Bryan Danielson. So they get back in the ring, and Danielson ends up coming back with a series of yes kicks. And he locks on, appropriately, the Romero special. Locks it on Rocky Romero. Transitions it into a dragon sleeper. Romero fights out of it, goes for the double wrist lock. Danielson gets sent out to the floor yet again. Romero hit a jumping hurricanrana. He leaps off the ring steps. He gets a running start. And he leaps off the ring steps and he hits this diving hurricanrana on the floor. Back in the ring, Rocky hits a running sliced bread for a near fall. So they fight up top. And whoop. We got a mosquito flying around here. He loved this show, too. He couldn't get enough of this show. As I'm watching the final minutes of the Dynamite episode tonight, this fucking guy was sitting right next to me. I thought I got him, and he flew away somewhere. So if I could kill him here over the point, at some point during this live stream here, if I could kill this thing, this would be my greatest accomplishment here of the night. He's bitten me four times. I woke up with four bites earlier. So this thing is due to die here at some point. But anyway, so they fight up top and Danielson goes for a back superplex, but Romero turns it into a crossbody on the way down. So that's the old Shawn Michaels Bulldog finish from Saturday night's main event. That's how Bulldog won, or rather Shawn Michaels won his first Intercontinental title. So he puts an armbar on Danielson, but Danielson reverses it with a power bomb. Danielson grabs the arms. He starts laying in the stomps, those vicious stomps to the face, before finally applying Conan's old Tequila Sunrise submission, or some variation of it, but they acknowledge it as the Tequila Sunrise, and Rocky Romero quickly taps out. Bryan Danielson racks up another win, and so his streak of winning matches in various ways continues here. He wins here with the Tequila Sunrise. Rocky Romero, I thought, was a great opponent for him. I thought he looked great. Why wouldn't he? Veteran guy. He knows what he's doing when he's in the ring. And I'm very excited because I will have the opportunity to call my first Rocky Romero match this Friday night for House of Glory. So very much looking forward to that. So I enjoyed this opening segment. I thought it was great. I'm still digging what they've been doing with Danielson since he has made his debut. Long may it continue. I think his match with Miro on Saturday is also going to be quite good. I was looking forward to seeing Danielson one-on-one against Moxley. But Danielson and Miro, I think, is also going to be a very good match. And they actually had a video package later in the show. Very well done, actually, throughout the entire show. It wasn't just the good matches and the contract signing. They had a series of pre-tapes, of vignettes, hyping up Danielson and Miro, hyping up Darby and MJF, hyping up Omega and Hangman. All of the key matches on that show. Very well done. And the Miro vignette was also very well done. Talking about his God and whatnot. You know, Lana has gotten so much play on AEW television without making a single appearance. All of the references over these many months, when Miro talks about his hot wife, wanting to go home to his wife. We never see his wife. His wife is not under contract yet. She's not on the AEW roster. But Lana is getting more airtime, I feel like, on AEW without making a single appearance than she ever did in WWE. Tony Schiavone was in the ring to interview the Inner Circle. Chris Jericho, Sammy Guevara, Jake Hager, Santana, and Ortiz about their Minneapolis street fight coming up this Saturday night at Full Gear. Mike, you know, would you get away from... I'm gonna give this guy a name. You know, I give everybody a nickname on the show. I'm going to give this thing a nickname. He keeps flying around my fucking head here. It's November. We shouldn't have mosquitoes in November. But here in New York, it was 70 degrees yesterday. So we are experiencing, something of a heat wave. So it has brought out the mosquitoes again. It's been very mild outside. So the Inner Circle is introduced, and as they're about to make their way down the ramp to come to the ring, they get attacked. They get jumped from behind by American Top Team and Dan Lambert and Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. And they lay out the baby faces, and Junior Dos Santos gives Sammy Guevara, the TNT champion, a nice shot to the gut, takes him down. They're beating on Jericho with a kendo stick, and Lambert gets into the ring. And Dan Lambert gets in the ring, and he climbs up on the middle rope on the inside. And Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky, they kind of lift up Jericho, and they give him to Dan Lambert after a table has been set up in the ring. And they hand Jericho off to Lambert, and from the middle rope, Dan Lambert, it wasn't the prettiest power bomb, but he gave Jericho a power bomb from the middle rope down through a table in the ring. And Scorpio Sky got on the mic and he said that was just a little taste of what Jericho and the Inner Circle were going to get on Saturday. Ethan Page said not only are they going to win the street fight coming up on Saturday, but they're going to make sure that Dan Lambert is the one who pins Chris Jericho. And he said that was Saturday. Tonight, though, they would make sure that Lambert makes Jericho tap out in the Walls of Jericho, and Dan Lambert applied the hold, and Scorpio Sky grabbed Jericho's hand, and he starts doing the tap-out motion, so he's tapping Jericho out for him. And I love it, because as Lambert has this move applied, they put the microphone right in his face, and he says, the move is called a Boston Crab, and he's giving us a history lesson. He goes, it's called a Boston Crab, and it goes back to Championship Wrestling, or Florida Championship Wrestling in 1975. And the real Rocky Johnson used to use the move. And finally, he lets go of the hold. So Lambert, as always, was a heat magnet, as he has been every week in these segments. The people do not like this man. He is the most despised man outside of MJF on this entire show. No matter what city they're in, no matter what building they're in, the man is just like molten lava, the heat that this guy gets. And I fully expect him to be the one to take the losing fall, which is why I assume he's even in this match to begin with. I think he'll take the losing fall on Saturday, and he'll get his comeuppance. I thought it was a good angle, you know, get some heat on the heels going into the pay-per-view, where I expect the babyfaces to go over. And by the way, I didn't mention this at the beginning, but I will go through predictions for Full Gear at the end here. I did them the other day. We've had a couple of matches added to the pay-per-view since then. Have any of my predictions changed since the weekend? We'll wait and see. We'll do the predictions at the very end for the pay-per-view. So we had a trios match. A ladies trios match with Britt Baker, the women's champion, along with Rebel Jamie Hayter, taking on Ty Conti, Anna Jay, and Thunder Rosa. Can't roll my R's. That's about as good as it gets. Thunder Rosa. Can't do it any better than that. Thunder Rosa, by the way, tweeted the other day that she has been dropping in on the live chats here on the channel. You never know. Thunder Rosa could be lurking right now. She could be backstage at the arena on her phone, hanging out with you guys, lurking in the chat. So be nice. Be on your best behavior in case Thunder Rosa pops in. We got our first taste here early in the beginning of this match of Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. Our first taste since the last match they had, which was the unsanctioned match earlier this year on Dynamite. And so it was cool to see them back in the ring together face to face. It was brief, and Britt quickly tagged out. She wanted no part of Thunder Rosa. She tagged out to Rebel, who was easily dispatched by Thunder Rosa. So the heels interfered. They took control. Heading into the picture-in-picture break. Come back from break. Ty Conti gets the hot tag. Ty Conti, of course, is the one challenging for the women's championship this Saturday. She runs wild on all the heels. And in the end, she gets overwhelmed by the numbers advantage. Thunder Rosa and Jamie Hayter face off. It was back and forth. A lot of big moves going back and forth. And finally, Thunder Rosa goes up to the top rope. Hits this giant crossbody from the top all the way down onto Jamie Hayter on the floor. This looked brutal. She just slammed down on top of Jamie Hayter with all of her weight. And that took care of Jamie Hayter. So in the ring, Rebel was left all alone. Ty Conti hit the hammerlock DDT for the win. She was eyeballing Britt Baker the entire time as she hit the hold. Short but intense. Britt left her to die, basically left Rebel all by herself there at the end of the match. She wanted no part of Ty Conti, the champion, scampered off. Short but intense when I would say either Thunder Rosa or Ty Conti were in there. I thought Ty was great. She was like a house of fire, a little spitfire in there. And she looked good heading into that championship match on Saturday. But, you know, seeing Rosa and Britt Baker in the ring just reinforced what I've been saying to you guys now for a few months, which is that Britt Baker's title reign cannot end. It cannot end until she gets back into the ring again with Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa is in the TBS title tournament, and as much as I would love to see her win the whole thing, I would much rather see her forego the TBS title and challenge Britt Baker early next year, maybe at Revolution in February, for the world championship, for the top title in the women's division, because that's what you need to get back to. The story tells itself. They have a history together. They had the unsanctioned match. Britt Baker lost in that match, even though wins and losses don't count record-wise in AEW if it's unsanctioned. But Thunder Rosa won, and yet Britt Baker is the one who went on a couple of months later to become the champion. And she's been on this tear ever since Double or Nothing. So eventually you bring it back to Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, this time for the championship, and this time Thunder Rosa has to chase Britt Baker for the title. We got a little taste of it tonight, but it only reinforced the fact that I'm right when I say that that should be the plan going forward, heading into the new year. Thunder Rosa should be the one to take that title from Britt Baker. And the TBS title can go to almost anybody else. You want to put it on a babyface? Put it on Ruby Soho. You want to put it on a heel? You know, you've got Jade Cargill as a possibility. You have options, but the world title, I think, should go to Thunder Rosa when they make the decision to take that belt off Britt Baker. We have Jungle Boy one-on-one with Anthony Bowens of the Acclaimed. Max Caster rapped about Jungle Boy on his way to the ring. Of course, Max Caster always raps on the way to the ring for these Anthony Bowen singles matches, and he talked about Jungle Boy stuttering through his promos and about Jungle Boy's girlfriend hanging out with seven different guys. reference to the Dark Order, unless there's seven other guys that she's been hanging and banging with. I don't know. That's between her and Jungle Boy. Max Caster, late in the match, climbed up onto the apron. Jungle Boy sent him out to the floor, and then he hit him with a suicide dive. So that took out Mr. Caster. As he was coming back into the ring, Bowens caught him with this really cool-looking twisting DDT and got a very close near fall out of it. Bowens went for a Uranage. Jungle Boy countered into the snare trap for the submission win. This was to give Jungle Boy a tune-up win going into the six-man tag. He's in a six-man tag, false count anywhere match against the Elite, Super Elite, Super Click. They're called so many different fucking things. I mean, you can call them the Elite. It's pretty much all-encompassing, but I get confused sometimes. Is it the Elite? Is it the Super Elite? Is it the Super Click? Is it the Elite Click? I don't fucking know. It's too many names. We'll call them the Elite. And that's who Jungle Boy will be facing on Saturday. But this was a nice little tune-up win for him. But it's also the second straight strong singles effort for Anthony Bowens. We saw him in the ring last week. A good effort, solid effort against Bryan Danielson. And this week against Jungle Boy. So I don't know if this is something of a test for him. Because it's been him in the ring, not Max Caster. Max Caster is on the outside. If this is some kind of test for Anthony Bowens, I think he's passed the test so far. He's looked good. He's looked like he could hang with these guys. After the match, Jungle Boy was celebrating on the ropes when Bobby Fish, who is not on the pay-per-view on Saturday, Bobby Fish comes running down to the ring and he attacks Jungle Boy from behind. Christian Cage and Luchasaurus run out, causes Fish to run away. We go backstage. And in the back, we have Adam Cole and the Young Bucks. They're being interviewed, and Adam Cole introduces Bobby Fish to the Young Bucks. Got a nice little reaction when Bobby Fish walked into camera view. First time we've seen Fish and Adam Cole together on camera since maybe the War Games, man. I don't know how long ago it was in NXT, because Fish got hurt. He was gone for a while. Obviously, those two have a history together. On another show, and the Bucks said they knew Bobby. They know Bobby very well. We know who he is. And Matt Jackson said that there is no dispute in AEW. It is the era of the Super Click. So there you go, it's the Super Click. And Adam Cole suggested that Bobby Fish get in the ring with Jungle Boy on Rampage this Friday, one-on-one, which has since been made official. And he asked him to leave a little bit so that he and the Bucks could finish the job at the pay-per-view. A very interesting turn of events with this Adam Cole, Bobby Fish on-camera stuff tonight. Kyle O'Reilly, whose contract is said to be expiring in December. Kyle and Johnny Gargano both have deals that are coming up for expiration within the next 3 or 4 weeks. Kyle O'Reilly has got to be coming in. I mean, not that anything would be official, because that would be illegal. But I watch this and I just think Kyle O'Reilly would be a fool to stay where he is. Kyle O'Reilly has been paired off now for weeks with Von Wagner on NXT. The most unnatural tag team that I have seen in a very long time. These two have no chemistry whatsoever. It's like they were set up on a blind date or an arranged marriage. And they're trying to make the best of it, but clearly this just ain't going to work. Kyle is so out of place on that new NXT 2.0 show. And the fact that all of his friends, I mean, Roderick Strong is the Cruiserweight champion. I mean, he's doing something on his own now. And I don't know what Roddy's deal is. I believe Roddy is going to be there for a while. So Roderick Strong is not going to factor into any of this. But Kyle O'Reilly is probably going to be free very soon. And even before tonight, I've been saying on the podcast, you know, Bobby Fish being in AEW, coming out to the old Red Dragon music, you know, Bobby Fish is a very capable wrestler, but I don't really see much of a future on the AEW roster as a single for Bobby Fish. You know, he's good, but there's nothing about him that's exceptional. They have a lot of people on the AEW roster that I would push before I would ever push Bobby Fish. But Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly back together, could do some real damage in that tag team division. They have a very strong tag team division, very active, strong tag division in AEW. Red Dragon would fit perfectly. Red Dragon against FTR. Red Dragon against the Lucha Bros. Red Dragon against the Bucks. Red Dragon against anybody. So I watched this segment tonight and I'm thinking, Kyle, come on, Kyle. Do you want Von Wagner or do you want Adam Cole and Bobby Fish and to get put the family back together? I think the choice is simple. So if I'm Kyle O'Reilly, I know what I'm doing. Because clearly there's no future for me on NXT, you know, NXT Rainbow, as I call it. It's a fucking circus on that show. But it just makes sense, I think, to have a Red Dragon reunion. And I was thinking even a little further than that. You know, Omega could very well lose the championship on Saturday. And I'll do my predictions in a little bit. But if Kenny Omega, and Kenny Omega is going to lose the title at some point, right? Whether it happens this weekend or not. When Kenny Omega loses the AEW World title, you know, I look into my crystal ball at what Omega does next. Where does he go next? And I see the Elite. I see Adam Cole kicking Kenny Omega out of the group. Not unlike what they did to Adam Cole many years ago. Only this time they do the same to Kenny Omega. They kick him out. He ends up going back babyface again. And maybe Adam Cole takes over sort of that top spot or that leadership position in the group. And if Kyle O'Reilly does come in, you know, he brings Red Dragon on into the Elite with him. And Omega gets kicked to the curb. I could see something like that developing in the not-too-distant future. And if you believe that Kenny Omega is only days away from losing the championship, it could happen a lot sooner than we all think. It could happen as soon as next week. Just some food for thought about where this could potentially be going. But very, very interesting to see that on the show tonight. Wardlow, one-on-one against Wheeler Yuta. Yuta went for a step up off the middle rope and he slipped. Wardlow took control. He powerbombed Yuta, delivered three more powerbombs. Each time the crowd was more and more into Wardlow. They didn't give a shit about Wheeler Yuta. They just wanted to see this guy powerbomb poor Wheeler into oblivion here. The crowd reaction was increasing with each powerbomb as he tried to kill this man. And finally, Wardlow put Yuta on the ropes. He hit him with his Casualty of War knee strike for the win. So a dominant win for Wardlow. The crowd reacted big to him. It's going to be a massive babyface when the time comes that he splits away from MJF. And it's coming. God knows they've been teasing it for a long time now. It's coming. When it happens, Wardlow, if they put all their eggs in the Wardlow basket, he could get over and become a major player on the babyface side in AEW. And he would be one of their homegrown guys. You know, they got him off the independents. He was not a big name anywhere else before he came to AEW. They could claim him. He could be one of those guys they kind of build from the ground up and really develop into a major star. The guy could talk. You know, when he's in the ring, he can work. He's perfectly fine as a worker, but he's got something about him. And, you know, because of his size and the way he could throw some of these smaller guys around like he did with Yuta tonight, he could be a major player for AEW if they play their cards right. After the match, Isaiah Cassidy and The Blade from the Hardy family office, they ran in to attack Orange Cassidy, who was checking on Wheeler Yuta. Of course, Wheeler Yuta is one of his buddies, you know, so he's got to check on him. Matt Hardy had been sitting in the front row. We saw him in the front row, actually, during the opening match. So Matt Hardy gets into the ring, and he's got a chair. And he hits Wrong Cassidy. He hits Orange Cassidy. I got my Cassidys mixed up. He hits Orange Cassidy in the gut with the chair, wraps the chair around his neck, and proceeds to hit a chair-assisted twist of fate to leave Orange Cassidy laying. I said at the beginning of the stream, it's the one thing about the show that I watched and I groaned. I said, why is this feud still going on? Why are we still watching Matt Hardy and Orange Cassidy? I'm over this.
The only thing I really didn't like on this show was the fact that this feud is still continuing. So coming out of the break, we go to the back, and we see in the parking area, the parking lot area, CM Punk is being held back by Dustin Rhodes, and Sanjay Dutt was there. They had agents, they had wrestlers, they had referees holding back Punk. And a little further down, they had referees and agents and people holding back Eddie Kingston. These two wanted to get at each other in the worst way. They were being separated and held back. And as they're kind of taking Eddie away, Eddie had this burst of energy, I guess. And he tried to kind of circumvent everybody and run towards Punk. And he got stopped. But it looked like he was trying to run for the first down. And he almost made it. Eddie Kingston was trying to get that first down. He should have just slid. But they stopped him. So Punk and Kingston never touched, which I like. I wouldn't have had them touch. We already had the pull apart last week on Rampage. Keep them apart. Now, maybe on Friday night they end up, you know, having some kind of a brawl. But I like the fact that they kept them apart. Keep people wanting to see it at the pay-per-view. But it was just funny to me seeing Eddie Kingston do that angry run as he was trying to make one last mad dash towards CM Punk. He didn't quite make it. And on the subject of Eddie Kingston, and yes, by the way, S4 in the chat, thank you, sir. Please hit that like button if you have not already done so. I forgot to mention that. But if you did not see this, you need to go out of your way to find this article. It's a story, a blog, that Eddie Kingston wrote in his own word. I don't know if he dictated it to somebody and they wrote it. It reads like something that he would have just written himself. Stream of consciousness. It sounds like Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston wrote a piece on a website called The Players Tribune. And the title of the story is Eddie Kingston Got No Business Fucking Being Here. And it talks about his upbringing and becoming a wrestling fan and all of the trials and tribulations and being broke and leaving wrestling to go do other things and being drawn back into it and depression and being in a dark place and mental illness and all this stuff to the modern day where he's finally made a name for himself in AEW, on television, in a national promotion, something he never thought that he would do. If you are going through any kind of shit in your life, whether it's mental illness, whether you're addicted to something, or you're just depressed or in a really dark place, this is a great piece. You need to read this story. It's raw. It's real. He lays it all on the line there. He really lets you in on who the man really is. Not just Eddie Kingston, the wrestler we see on TV, but the man and the person behind the Eddie Kingston that we see on TV. It's a great, great piece. So just a little public service announcement. For those who may have missed it, I read it yesterday. It was just a fantastic piece. Again, it's on the Players Tribune is the name of the website. Dante Martin and Leo Rush against Matt Sydal and Lee Moriarty. Leo Rush tweeted earlier. He said, just got some rough news that my grandmother has sadly passed from a heart attack. We talked about how she looked forward to seeing me wrestle on TV again. Tomorrow I'll be making my AEW debut without my grandmother, but I know she will still be watching. This is for you. And he tweeted that out yesterday. And I can say, having watched this match here, that he did her proud. He had a hell of an effort here in this tag team match tonight. And to think, you know, you watch Leo Rush in this match and what he can do in the ring and WWE's great idea for him on the main roster was to make him a manager. Not that he couldn't excel in the role or that he didn't do a good job, but that was their grand idea for him, for him to be a manager. You put Leo Rush in the ring and let him do what he does best, and Leo Rush is a lot of fun to watch. Imagine Leo Rush in the ring one-on-one against Ricochet. I wouldn't even attempt to take notes. I would just sit back and enjoy it for what it is. Dante Martin and Lee Moriarty, they had a nice sequence at the beginning of this. They tagged in their partners, and Moriarty reached in actually over the ropes and hit Leo Rush from behind. That allowed Matt Sydal to take Leo down with a kick. Rush came back with a step-up Hurricanrana, and it ended up with all four men brawling as they went into the commercial break. Come back from break, and Dante hits a springboard dropkick that allows him to reach Leo Rush for the tag. Moriarty immediately takes him down with a big boot and a running uppercut. And Leo fought off both opponents, hit a cyclone kick on Matt Sydal, enziguri on Lee Moriarty. And then he hit the handspring double elbow, kipped up, hit suicide dives on either side of the ring. One on one side, back in the ring, out on the other side. So Leo Rush was firing here. He was, all those neurons were firing. This guy was flying all over the place. You couldn't keep track of this guy. Rush went to the ropes up top with Dante Martin. It looked like, I don't know what they were going for. I don't think they were going for anything because they ended up not following through on the spot. But you got a picture. Dante Martin is up on the top rope. And Leo Rush is seated, perched on the top rope. And he was kind of motioning to Dante Martin as if he wanted Dante to stand on his shoulders. Leo Rush is not a big guy. Neither is Dante Martin, although he's taller. So I don't know what they were planning on going for here, but before they could pull off whatever this spot was going to be, Matt Sydal took Leo Rush off the top with a Hurricanrana. Lee Moriarty jumped up on the top rope, and he gave an overhead throw to Dante Martin. He tossed him all the way from the top rope down onto the mat for a near fall. So Dante came back with his double jump moonsault onto Moriarty at the end, and ended up picking the win up for his team. It was a mad dash, but it was a lot of fun. Again, I know this is not everybody's, you know, kind of wrestling that they like, but I thought it was a lot of fun. Leo Rush is great at what he does. He really is. He is fantastic. But Dante Martin continues to impress me as well. Dante Martin is not as experienced at this. He has not been around as long as Leo Rush has been around. He's a little bit younger. But every time I see him, he continues to impress me. And one day soon, whether somebody turns or it's just a friendly competition, we're going to get one-on-one Leo Rush against Dante Martin. And that is going to be impossible to take notes on, but that is going to be a match that I look forward to seeing. Speaking of matches that I look forward to seeing, coming into this show tonight, I saw that we were going to get Dax Harwood one-on-one against the Bastard Pack. And I thought to myself, that sounds like a really good professional wrestling match. I can't wait to see that match. And so we had Pack one-on-one against one half of the AAA Tag Team Champions, FTR, Dax Harwood. We've got technical wrestling here at the beginning of this match. They are trading forearms in the middle of the ring, and Pack hits a snap German, sends Dax out to the floor, lands a Fosbury flop right before the commercial break. Dax looked like he was bleeding from the chest. Not a lot, but you could see blood. Apparently it was from chops that Pac gave him earlier in the match. Because at first I couldn't tell where the blood was from, but then he mentioned it was from the chops. They come back from break, and Pac hits an avalanche brain buster all the way down. I'm not sure who got the worst of that exchange, but that looked brutal. Pac hits a top rope shotgun drop kick to Dax from behind, right between the shoulder blades, and down goes Dax. He just face first flop down on the mat. But he lands right near the corner of the ring, right in perfect position for Pac to head up top to go for the Black Arrow. But before Pac could even finish climbing up to the ropes, Dax Harwood, with presence of mind, he rolls out of the way. And Pac drops down. He ends up hitting Harwood with some more offensive moves eventually, though. He dodges a charge in the corner, and Harwood hits a brainbuster of his own for a near fall. Pack comes back with a super kick, goes up top for the Black Arrow, but Harwood recovers, cuts him off. Harwood goes up top, hits a giant back suplex. We've got the crowd chanting, "This is awesome." The crowd is digging this. They're into this, as am I. Harwood performs a slingshot, sit-out powerbomb, great near fall. That was a great spot. So he's throwing punches at Pac, and Pac takes him over with a backslide for a near fall. Immediately transitions into the Brutalizer, the instant submission. right away. He doesn't waste any time. Dax Harwood immediately taps out. This was an excellent match. Excalibur explained. Dax had athletic tape on his shoulder, and so he tapped out immediately because he wanted to save himself from injury. He's got a pay-per-view match coming up on Saturday, right? Challenging for the AEW Tag Team Championship, so he wanted to make sure that he was okay, so hence the reason why he immediately tapped out. I like it that at least the announcers took the time to explain why he would have tapped out that quickly. It's the little things like that that I appreciate. Cash Wheeler immediately hits the ring to attack Pac. All of a sudden, the lights go out. Lights come back on, and in the ring, side by side, is Malakai Black and Andrade El Idolo, two men who were tied together by one Zelina Vega. That is the tie that binds between these two men. That is the common bond they share. Zelina was once the manager for Andrade. Zelina, of course, married to Malakai. They didn't mention this on TV, but that is the common thread between these two. They start putting the boots to Pac. That brings out his Death Triangle teammates, the Lucha Bros, the AEW Tag Team Champions. They come down to the ring. Cody Rhodes also comes out. But Cody Rhodes is too good to come out down the aisle like all the other people, like all the other paupers that are in the company here. Cody comes through the crowd. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I know some people make entrances for their matches through the crowd. Jon Moxley comes through the crowd. What purpose would it serve for Cody Rhodes when he's trying to make it to the ring as quickly as possible for the save? Why does he have to come through the crowd? What was he doing? Was he at the merch stand on the concourse? Was he waiting in line trying to buy a fucking hot dog? And he heard a commotion. He said, oh shit, I better get down to the ring. I don't know what he was doing up there. But Cody had to come through the crowd, so of course it took him a little longer to get down to the ring, but eventually he made it. And the babyfaces chased off all the heels. It is now official. For Full Gear on Saturday, it will be Malakai Black and Andrade El Idolo taking on Cody Rhodes and the Bastard Pack. I said when I did my predictions the other day on the podcast, Cody Rhodes had no match. Cody, Malakai. So I figured we were going to get either a tag match or a fatal four-way, and we ended up with the tag match. Tony Schiavone was in the ring at the end of the show for the contract signing to make it official for Full Gear, the AEW World Championship on the line. Kenny Omega defending against Hangman Adam Page. Dark Order banned from ringside for this segment. The Elite banned from ringside for this segment. Loud chants of cowboy shit for the challenger. Adam Page takes the microphone to speak first. And he realizes the sooner that he signs this contract, the quicker he gets to Full Gear and beats his ass to become the new world champion. He signs the contract. So now it's Kenny Omega's turn. And he tells Hangman, you know, you and I, we used to be friends. We used to be partners, you and I. He goes, I saw a little bit of myself in you. And he said, what a disappointment. To see how things turned out, to see all of your failures and insecurities, what a disappointment. Hangman said, Omega's also had a tag team partner in the past that he perhaps didn't measure up to, which was a reference to Kota Ibushi. So they're outright mentioning Okada, and they're teasing Ibushi, which is getting me very excited now. Now that I realize that we're getting that much closer to getting some other big names crossing over from one promotion to the other, hopefully very soon, now we're going to start to see some big names. I mean, we had Suzuki, and we've had a few names here and there, but I've been waiting for the Okadas and the Ibushis and the Tanahashis and people like that, and it feels like we're getting that much closer. So that was the first Ibushi reference on Dynamite. But Hangman said, the biggest lie you ever told me goes back to Full Gear last year in the finals of the Eliminator, which is where Omega beat Hangman and eventually wrestled Moxley and won the championship. So the biggest lie you ever told me was last year after you beat me. You said you were proud of me. I said you weren't proud of me. You were scared of me. You were scared of me, you were afraid that it would light a fire under my ass and I would come after you and I would go after the championship. He goes, I'm going to become that you were afraid that I would go on to become what I'm going to become this Saturday, which is the next AEW World Champion. All of this was delivered very well. The crowd was into it. The crowd is ready to see this man win this title. Omega said, I just wanted you to realize your potential. And I want to shake your hand right now, here, one last time. He puts his hand out. Hangman stands up. He walks over to him. He shakes hands. Now, we should have known something was up, because as this is all going on, we see a cameraman in the ring. Now, normally, they wouldn't shoot the cameraman. I thought that was a little odd. I go, why is this guy getting in the camera shot? But we quickly realize why we saw the cameraman, because the cameraman was no ordinary cameraman. The cameraman took his camera and hit Hangman from behind. And I think Hangman was turning at the moment that he struck him, because Hangman came up bleeding. Because at first I thought, well, if he hit him from behind, why would he be bleeding from the forehead? I think he may have been turning at that moment. But the cameraman strikes Adam Page and then pulls off his he had like a fake mustache, I think, and reveals himself to be Don Callis, who we have not seen on television in about 6 weeks. So Don Callis was out there dressed as a cameraman, and with Hangman Page bleeding, Kenny Omega signs the contract with his finger in Hangman's blood. He signed the contract in Hangman's own blood to make it official for Full Gear. When this was over, I was left thinking, I don't know how anybody, Bully Ray or otherwise, can think that it is not the right time to pull the trigger and put that championship on Hangman Page. The audience is ready for it. You've already teased it before and you've pulled back on it. You know, it's been a year of this, over a year. I mean, this story has been playing out going back to when Hangman lost to Chris Jericho. This has been a very long story arc for Hangman Page. Going back to when he failed to win the AEW World title and become the first ever AEW World Champion. And after that is when he and Kenny Omega became a tag team and they were tag team champions. It's been one long story arc that kind of paused for a while. He kind of got a little cold there with the Dark Order stuff, and then they heated it back up again once they kind of were able to get back on the road in front of live audiences, which is really what you need, right? I mean, this wouldn't play the same if they were in Daly's place in front of nobody. But this has been one long story arc, and now comes the payoff. 1 year after he lost to Kenny Omega in the Eliminator, these two men are back in the ring together, and this time Hangman avenges that loss. He becomes the AEW World Champion. And where Kenny Omega goes becomes a whole other story, because maybe he does get kicked out of the Elite. Maybe he goes back to being a babyface. Maybe he takes time off, and we don't see Omega on TV for a while. There's still a lot of big potential matches to do with Kenny Omega, heel or babyface, but you know, more so as a heel, because you want to do Omega and Punk, and maybe revisit Omega and well, I almost got him. He tried to fly up my nose. I'm going to kill him before we're done here. I'm going to kill this mosquito. I'm going to murder him. I'm going to smear his blood on my chest like a Viking warrior. I'm going to take this shirt off and wipe the blood, smear it across my chest. Anyway. So, with all that being said, you know my position on who I think should be going over in the main event on Saturday. Let us talk about this pay-per-view card. Full Gear is Saturday. Unfortunately, it is not airing on Fight TV here in the States. One of the things I loved about All Out was that I was able to order the pay-per-view on Fight TV. Fight TV played perfectly fine for me. I had no issues. It will be airing on Fight TV internationally. Otherwise, you got to order it on pay-per-view or get it on Bleacher Report. So that's where it'll be airing. They have added a buy-in pre-show match. Hikaru Shida and Thunder Rosa will be taking on Jamie Hayter and Nyla Rose. I'm going with Shida and Rosa, putting the baby faces over in that match. We've got the Young Bucks and Adam Cole taking on Jurassic Express and Christian Cage. That is going to be a pretty insane match, but I am going with the Super Click for the win. CM Punk and Eddie Kingston, very much looking forward to that. Eddie Kingston is due for a big win. That big win will not come on Saturday, nor should it. CM Punk is not yet at the point where he should be losing, and when he does lose, I don't think it should be here to Eddie Kingston. So I think it's going to be a great brawl between these two guys. I'm not expecting a technical clinic or anything like that. This match was entirely sold on that promo from Rampage last week. They sold me on the match in one promo segment. Now they got to go out there and deliver in the ring. But I think CM Punk is going to pick up the win there. We have the Lucha Bros defending the AEW tag team titles against FTR, who I don't believe their AAA tag team titles are on the line. Lucha Bros retain. They're not losing the titles on Saturday. Darby Allin one-on-one against MJF. Two men who both lost at the last pay-per-view. Darby Allin lost to CM Punk. MJF lost to Chris Jericho. This is one of the more difficult matches, I think, to predict here on this show because it could go either way. I could see either of these guys winning. If it's me, I put MJF over because I think MJF is going to soon be in line for a shot at the AEW World title. And so you want to continue to build him up for that. I'm going with MJF to get the win here in this match. We've got Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, defending her AEW Women's title against Ty Conti. Ty Conti has improved tremendously from her NXT days, and I think she will make a worthy challenger this weekend, but she will not be a Women's World Champion just yet. Britt Baker will retain her title. Pac and Cody Rhodes against Malakai Black and Andrade El Idolo. Cody got the win in that third match against Malakai. Good for him. Seal clap there for Cody Rhodes. He's not winning on Saturday, or at least I don't think he should. If it's me, I give the win to the heels. I think Malakai and Andrade are going to go over. They're my pick to win. We've got a Minneapolis street fight, the Inner Circle against the Men of the Year. And American Top Team with Dan Lambert, who is in the match. I think Inner Circle picks up the win. I think it's Dan Lambert who gets embarrassed and takes the losing fall for his team. Seems to make sense after the way things ended with these guys tonight. Bryan Danielson one-on-one against Miro in the finals of the world title Eliminator. Miro stepping in for Jon Moxley, getting a huge opportunity here. I think it pays off for Miro. Because I think that had Moxley gone on to the finals of this tournament, my belief is that Jon Moxley would have beaten Bryan Danielson and we would have had a heel turn. I still think the heel goes over. I think Danielson suffers his first loss in AEW. I'm picking Miro. I think Miro is going to win that match and win the world title eliminator on Saturday. Which leads us to the main event. Kenny Omega defending the world title against Hangman Adam Page. I've made my case very clear. I cannot be any more clear in who I think should win this match. Hangman Page is going to win the match. Hangman Page is going to be your next AEW World Champion. And I'll do you one better. Hangman Page should be the first man in an AEW ring to kick out of the One-Winged Angel. It is the most protected finish, the most protected move in the entire company. And I can appreciate them protecting that move and having nobody kick out of it, but I think the time has come, and I think it would be a fantastic way to just put Hangman over, provided he's winning. Now, if he's not winning the title, then do not have him kick out of the One-Winged Angel. But if he's winning, I think you have him kick out of that move. It's a great near fall. The place comes unglued for it. You know, if it's me, I think you want to, as predictable as some people may think the outcome of that match is going to be, I think you want to toy with people's emotions a little bit. So you have the Elite and you have Don Callis interfere. And it looks like the Bucks and the Elite, here we go again, a fuck finish. You know, they're going to interfere and stick their noses in the match. There have to be teases built into this match. Maybe there's a ref bump, you know, and the Elite get involved or whatever, and it looks like they're going to help, you know, Omega win. But it backfires, and Hangman kicks out, whatever it may be. Bring the crowd along on this journey. Get them up, get them down, get them up, bring them down. Have him kick out of the One-Winged Angel, and then that, I mean, that buckshot lariat, when he hits that and he turns Omega inside out, man, it's going to be that much sweeter when he hits that lariat and gets that three count. And the place is going to go crazy in Minneapolis on Saturday. So that's how I would do it. And in fact, now that I think about it, you know, if you're going to have the Elite possibly get involved here in this match, maybe there is a ref bump, right? That could be the moment where if Adam Cole is down there and Adam Cole's going to throw a super kick or something and maybe he inadvertently hits Kenny Omega, that could be the first fracture that we see in the Elite. It could play into the finish of that match. So the any number of ways they could go with this, but I do believe that the outcome is Hangman going over and winning the championship. And then you have Miro now as the number one contender, and you have Miro lined up, first in line to challenge Hangman for the title. You have a strong heel waiting in the wings for Hangman Page in his first title defense, and you've already set up your first program. So that's your Full Gear card. You guys will let me know in the chat or super chats what you think of my predictions, if you agree, if you disagree. Shout out to Roger Penland, who just became a Sound Off channel member, a Sound Off superstar. Roger, I know he's been a listener of the show for a very long time. So I hope you are doing well, my friend. So, a programming note, there will be no Rampage stream on the channel on Friday, because I am going to be doing commentary for House of Glory. It is our first show in nearly 2 years. House of Glory Born Again on Friday night, bell time 8 p.m. For those of you who are interested and cannot make it to the venue, the NYC Arena in Queens, the show will be airing live on Fight. Even though Full Gear will not be airing live on Fight here in this country, you can get House of Glory live on Fight TV Friday night. I will be on commentary for the show. Very much looking forward to it. So there will be no Rampage on Friday, but I will be live on Saturday night. So when Full Gear goes off the air, probably closer to midnight, these AEW pay-per-views tend to be very long because they only do four of them each year. So I'm expecting this to be a four-hour show. So I think it's going to be a very late night on Saturday. But as soon as the show goes off the air, I will be live right here to recap the entire thing. So I hope you will join me for that. And of course, episode 730 of the podcast on Sunday, where we will cover Raw and SmackDown and NXT, which is just awful, and all the other news of the week, the Full Gear fallout, any title changes, injuries, you know, God forbid, anything like that. We'll cover it all on the podcast coming up on Sunday. So it's going to be a very busy weekend. Let us take a look at the Twitter poll. Very well-received go-home show for AEW tonight. 90% thumbs up, only 9% thumbs down. So people seemed pretty happy with this go-home show tonight. Very strong show. I don't think you really could have asked for a better show to put this pay-per-view over. It had the right mix, I think, of good matches, but also strong promos and strong vignettes and videos to hype up the key matches on that show. Again, they could have mailed it in. Some of these go-home shows, very easy, I think, to just kind of mail it in sometimes, or it's a little too talk-heavy in the promo department, and maybe not all the promos are that good, because not everybody in AEW is a great promo. Not everybody is a CM Punk or an Eddie Kingston. But I thought it was the right mix of all those different types of segments. So I thought this was an excellent show tonight. Hey, Loop Cannon, happy birthday. It is Loop Cannon's birthday in the chat. Everybody wish him a happy birthday and drop some of those birthday cake emojis. We'll hang out here for a little bit. Look at all that birthday love for Loop Cannon. Look at this. See, we got a nice big happy family here. You never know. If she's lurking, you might even get Thunder Rosa to wish you a happy birthday. I told you, she lurks around here sometimes. Ryan Spies, thank you for the $4.99. When Okada eventually shows up in AEW, he should win all of his matches with the money clip. No, he should not. I don't ever want to see him use the money clip again. Joshua Carlos, buy or sell. Bret Hart against Steve Austin, WrestleMania 13. Or Undertaker Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 25. Undertaker Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 25 is the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. So you know what gets my vote. And Joshua also says, as disgusted Brandy Rhodes covers up the super chat, buy or sell potential match, Roman Reigns against Kenny Omega or Hangman? Are you saying Roman against Hangman or Omega against Hangman? Roman against Omega. Nayef Al-Safar, thank you for the $9.99. He says, have a great weekend, brother. Can't wait to see you on commentary. Well, thank you. Thank you. Hopefully I'm not too rusty. At least I'm not the primary play-by-play. I'm here to back up JD. He does a tremendous job doing the play-by-play. He is the face of the commentary booth there. I'm just there for the ride. So I shall do my best, though. I have been looking forward to this for a very long time. 2 years is a long time. It's a long time between shows. So I'm really happy that we're finally getting back into the swing of things. Joshua Carlos, Bobby Fish joining the Elite, potentially. Yes, we covered this earlier in the stream. I outlined a couple of different ideas for how that could go. Red Dragon possibly being reunited, Red Dragon being brought into the Elite by Adam Cole. Maybe they kick out Kenny Omega. Lakers, Pats 1. If Hogan ran in 2000 and lost, would he have pulled a that don't work for me brother, or would Gore and Bush have done the job for Hogan? Yeah, Hogan never would have made it to the debates. There was never any chance of that happening. Bulu Fatulu Salamancer, I asked Kion Kimura, how good was Salamancer? Actually, he said the best. I don't know who you're referring to, but I appreciate it. I think that was a compliment. I'm not entirely sure, Bulu. Joshua, Hangman probably the most over face in wrestling right now. It's a fair statement. Quintus Brown, very good go-home show tonight. Full Gear is definitely ending past midnight on Saturday. Yeah, I know. I hate these late shows, but... I hate these late shows. You know what the problem is? Now all these shows are on Saturday, even WWE. Are doing more Saturday pay-per-views. And I wouldn't mind it if I didn't do the podcast on Sunday. So everybody's talking about how great these Saturday pay-per-views are, and I'm like, fuck. Not for me, they're not. Food Hive, this was a great effing show. Great wrestling, great stories going into the pay-per-view and beyond. Quintus, did you hear Bully Ray's comments on Busted Open about it's not right? It's not the right time to put the belt on Hangman, yes. And I would say I respectfully disagree. Chris Quillman, I find it hilarious that Cody Rhodes is booed on Dynamite and Rampage, but is over as fuck on Dark as Fuego 2. Crazy. Jacob Donnelly, what's going on, Jacob? Hangman winning the title will be the best moment in wrestling until Orange Cassidy and Toriano win tag team gold. Dry chicken without flavor after that great tag team match featuring Leo Rush and Dante Martin against Lee Moriarty and Matt Sydal. I can see New Japan calling and begging AEW to send some of their talent to Japan for Wrestle Kingdom. Well, I wonder, you know, because Leo Rush was on a New Japan contract, and then he announced his second or third retirement, whichever number it was. But he was going to finish out his New Japan commitments. So I don't know if he's technically still under contract to New Japan. He might still actually be under contract to them. Joseph Brooks. Buy or sell on who you think could have had a world title reign if they did not mess things up for themselves. William Regal or Mr. Kennedy? William Regal. I think when Regal was really hot in 2008, it was around 2007, 2008, he was like the general manager. And I mean, he was getting the biggest push of his career. He was King of the Ring. He could have been world champion. You could have put the big gold belt on him. You had two world titles. You could have put the big gold belt on Regal and given him a run with it. But he fucked it all up. By his own admission, he fucked it all up. Jonathan Rutkowski, who is one of our new channel members along with Roger tonight, just dropped a dollar. Actually, he dropped a couple of bucks tonight. So, Jonathan, thank you for the support. Joseph Brooks, buy or sell on which Triple H WrestleMania main event should not have been the main event more than the other? WrestleMania 18 or WrestleMania 25? Oh, that's a good one. That's a very good one. Neither of those matches should have been the main event. Which one would I choose? That's tough. That is tough. You know, I just said a moment ago that Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker had the greatest WrestleMania match I've ever seen. So how do I vote against that? But also, you've got Rock against Hulk Hogan. How do you not fucking main event with The Rock against Hulk Hogan? I have to buy on WrestleMania 18. I think. I don't know. Now I'm torn. I don't know if I can choose between them. I did just say that I thought 25 was the greatest match I'd ever seen at WrestleMania, so how could I vote against that? The moral of the story is that Triple H should not have been in the WrestleMania main event. Jonathan, thank you again for the dollar. Joshua, Bryan Danielson against Okada would be phenomenal. Bryan Danielson in the G1 climax is what I'm waiting for next year. Danielson is going to be in the G1. You watch. You watch. It's one of the reasons I think he left WWE. Orlando Dow, what's going on, Orlando? Now, it'd be funny to find out if Orlando actually lived in Orlando. Angry Magma in the chat says, Rock against Hogan is my favorite match. Rock against Hogan at WrestleMania 18 is a 5-star match. You could argue with me and disagree with me all you want to. That's a five-star wrestling match. Orlando, glad to finally be live on the chat. Hope everybody is staying safe. Solomonster, buy or sell on who had the better first and second half of their career, Daniel Bryan or Shawn Michaels? Bryan Danielson is still writing that chapter, so Shawn Michaels, though. We have to see how Danielson's run plays out from here on out in AEW. It's still very early. He's only been there for a couple of months. But Shawn Michaels, I mean, he had two amazing careers. Dry chicken without flavor. I can see Okada working with AEW and doing tapings for Impact Wrestling before going back to Japan. Okada back in New Japan? Or Okada back in... well, of course he's going back to New Japan. Okada back in Impact, though. That would be, I don't know. I don't know. Although, you know, he has been complimentary of his time there. It's suspect how they used him. I understand he wasn't a big star then the way he is now, but I've heard him say, be complimentary about how much he learned while he was there, even though they didn't use him very well. Ruben Carrion. Thoughts on YouTube hiding the dislike button. Is that what they're doing? Not on my channel, they're not. People are definitely using that button. I don't know if that's just on specific channels or not, but I haven't seen that. Bulu Fatulu, happy 14 years. Thank you, brother. That's right. We are celebrating 14 years all month long of the Sound Off. This is our 14-year anniversary since I started the podcast in 2007. That's a long time. You know, in podcast years, that makes me as old as Vince McMahon. I feel like an old man. Del Fuego, leave tomorrow to go back home. I can't wait to see AEW. Floor seats for Full Gear. Spot me on the telly. Well, how about you bring one of those sound-off signs? Then I'll spot you. Bring like a giant sound-off sign if you're going to be on camera, man. Let's see that logo, man. Tuxedo T Servo. It appears WWE is smearing certain cut wrestlers who may have been more vocal about their creative. What are your thoughts? Not surprised. If that's what's happening, I'm not surprised at all. Muddy the waters a little bit, you know, plant some stories about how difficult certain people were to work with. You know, what does that really mean, though? Right? If you're difficult to work with, does that mean that you disagreed with some of their shitty creative and asked questions or raised concerns? Does that make you difficult to work with? I find that very suspect. Joshua, potential MJF versus Hangman program would be money. I agree. Skull Dipper, here's a scenario that Bully Ray said on Busted Open earlier in the week. What would you think of Hangman being screwed out of the title at the pay-per-view, but winning it a few weeks later when AEW is in his home state? I don't see a need to do that. I mean, you certainly, you could do it. I don't think Hangman is over enough that he doesn't have to win it in his home state. It'll get over just fine if he wins it at the pay-per-view. You know, if they wanted to do it in his home state, they wanted to try to pop a rating by advertising a big world title rematch for TNT, then they could do it. If Bully Ray was a TNT executive, suit and tie, I would expect him to be saying something like that. I don't think you need to hold off on this any longer. I think you give people the payoff that they're looking for. Sometimes you just got to give the people what they want. Fire Panda, if Bray does show up at AEW, who would you like to see him feud with? Oh, I don't know. It depends what kind of character he's playing. I think Bray and Aleister Black, you know, Malakai Black would be fun. Bray is doing exactly what I had predicted he might do, and I said he would be good for. If you missed the story this week, Bray is in Hollywood. He's making a horror movie. Did I not say that? Not that long ago. This is a guy who, playing that Wyatt family cult leader character, not even the Fiend, even the character he played before that. This is a guy that was just tailor-made to have a starring role in a horror film. And I was surprised WWE never put him in one. They put Kane in a horror movie. They've got their own movie studio. Why they never cast Bray or the entire Wyatt family in their own horror film, I'll never know. Because it just seems like it would have been a great fit. Michael Cuomo, buy or sell, rich girl or man-eater? Rich girl. Jonathan, thank you for the additional super chats. Jonathan is all over the place tonight. Love seeing it. GV2186, I'd be all for a Red Dragon reunion in AEW. Tuxedo, yes, that's what I just said. He is filming a horror movie. Domination Warrior, my birthday is tomorrow and 29 years young, and I'm going to the moon. Like Cameron Grimes, he's going to the moon. Nice of Developmental to be getting War Games, unlike Survivor Series, and there is no dispute. Yeah, you know, I'm wondering, in that little performance center area where they do all the shows, can they even fit two rings? Doesn't seem like it would be a big enough area to get two rings in there for a War Games match. You know, I pitched the whole War Games at Survivor Series thing. I think about, I've been doing the podcast 14 years, so it was probably about 10 or 11 years ago when I first pitched this whole idea to bring the War Games concept to Survivor Series, because the elimination matches, I guess, were not really selling the way they used to many years ago. So you have Survivor Series, the War Games would be the new annual, you know, big concept. And with the split crew, you do five guys from Raw, five guys from SmackDown in a War Games match. And you could have something tangible on the line. And I guess Vince McMahon was never a fan of the War Games concepts. Triple H was. He eventually brought it to NXT. War Games is so much bigger than NXT, though. The fact that it's not being used on the main roster for a major pay-per-view is ludicrous to me. And seeing a War Games match with fucking NXT Rainbow, it just doesn't seem right to me. Why are we watching a War Games match on a fucking NXT 2.0 show when we should be having that at Survivor Series or a major pay-per-view? Ryan Spies, even with Red Dragon stuff, there's also the possibility of Mount Rushmore with KO, the Bucks and Cole. That really makes the story even more interesting, as there are so many different ways it can go. Yeah, I mean, Owens, if he decides to leave, wouldn't be free until February. So give that a little more time. But you're right. Kevin Owens could very well be on his way out of WWE as well if he doesn't sign a new deal. And he would, I'm sure, be going to play with his friends. And there's limitless possibilities to what you could do with these guys. Even though they've all been in WWE for so many years, Owens has been there for years, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, we've seen them in WWE, we've seen them in NXT. You go somewhere else, and at least for a little while, it's like you put a fresh coat of paint on some of these people. But because they have these pre-existing relationships from the independent scene, or Ring of Honor, with all these people that are currently on the AEW roster, the inside fans who know about the history of these guys are getting excited thinking about the possibility of all of them working together again. So there really are any number of ways that you could go with, as you said, Red Dragon, Kevin Owens, Adam Cole, Kenny Omega. Nick Grosso, I am so over this Hardy-Cassidy feud. Enough already. I can see Adam Cole turning on the Elite, saying, you think I forgot what you guys did to me? Enter Fish and O'Reilly, and now we have a three-on-three feud. EJ Slemp, MJF has not won on pay-per-view since Double or Nothing 2020. Why not book long-term, have him lose to Darby? And then Wardlow, and finally Punk. That can lead to him going crazy and depressed, similar to Baron Corbin. You know, MJF has been very friendly to Baron Corbin on Twitter. I can't see what Corbin is saying because he blocked me a long time ago, the fucking prick. But he and Corbin are very chummy on Twitter with one another. You know, I didn't realize it had been that long since MJF had won a match on pay-per-view. I don't like the idea necessarily of him going on this extended losing streak, though. I do think he's due for a win. If it were me, I would just have him, you know, go over on Darby. Or you can do the angle where Wardlow, you know, inadvertently costs him the match. And he loses, but then the split comes on TV next week between MJF and Wardlow. It's me, though. I have MJF go over, though. Dry chicken without flavor. I wish AEW booked Orange Cassidy against Matt Hardy at the Hardy Compound so Freshly Squeezed can throw Big Money Matt's ass into the Lake of Reincarnation. And Dry Chicken says it's time to delete Big Money Matt and Hardy Family Office from AEW and bring back Broken Matt. Happy 14th anniversary. Keep up the great work. Thank you, sir. Del Fuego, do you think the chase will be better than the reward for Hangman? A lot of times the chase is the best part of it. But you can drag the chase out for a little too long, and you don't want to do that either. You got to find that happy medium. You got to just give people the payoff right at the right moment. Is the chase going to be better than Hangman Page World Champion? It could be. It could be. You don't know until you put the title on him. And a lot of it will depend on how strong the opponents are that you have lined up for him. So if you have Miro, if you have MJF, if you have other people, what are the caliber of opponent that you have, you know, lined up to challenge Hangman for the next 6 months for his championship? You know, maybe it's Hangman and Adam Cole. Maybe it's Hangman and Bryan Danielson in a friendly babyface, you know, competition, one-on-one. But could the chase end up being better than what comes after the payoff? Yeah, it's a risk. I think you always run that risk with any babyface. When Austin stopped chasing Vince McMahon and he won the championship for the second time, WrestleMania 15, you know, it was a risk because eventually that story has to play itself out. And once Austin McMahon was played out, like, what's next for Austin? You can't possibly find another heel on the level of you know, Mr. McMahon. I mean, that's a once-in-a-lifetime feud, right? So you got to come up with people for him to work with. But I don't know that it's going to be as exciting as the chase for the championship. One of the reasons, you know, Dusty Rhodes, when he was the NWA World Champion, I think he was champion three times. If you look at all of his title reigns, I don't think he was ever champion for longer than a few weeks. It was always the chase. It was always about, you know, Dusty going after the title. It's like the dog chasing after the car. When he catches up to the car, it's like he doesn't know what to do with himself. It's all about chasing after the car. When he catches up to it, it's like, what the fuck do I do now? Same logic applies here. Let's see here. EJ, should Hangman be the first AEW Triple Crown champion? And I made a mistake. MJF's first last pay-per-view win was at Full Gear and not Double or Nothing. I apologize. Well, that's still a year. That's still a long time for him to be winless on pay-per-view. Who did he wrestle at Revolution? Didn't he have a match at Revolution this year? Michael says that Dusty's longest NWA title reign was 4 months. All right, well, even 4 months, I mean, that's not that long. Especially back in those days, a lot of guys would hold that championship for a very long time. 4 months back then. 4 months today is like a long reign. 4 months back then is nothing. Fire Panda, I will be shocked if Hangman loses. Fire Panda also says, I think Adam Cole will cost Omega the title. I don't know if they want to end the show that way, though. See, I don't see that. I don't see them ending the show with Hangman getting screwed over by one of the Elite. I think they'll tease it. Like I said, tease it. Let the fans think that you're going to end with a screw job, and then Hangman fights back, he kicks out. Jared M., going on, Jared, dropping $35. I saw that. I saw the super chat earlier with the me with the mask on. Congrats on 14 years of the sound off. Thank you. Well, Jared has been a big part of many of those years, especially on these YouTube streams. So, Jared, I should be thanking you. Tuxedo, are you comparing Dusty's short reigns to Bruno Sammartino? Yeah, Bruno Sammartino, 8 years as the World Heavyweight Champion. We will never see anything like that again. And nor do I want to see anything like that again. Although on SmackDown, if they don't come up with somebody to beat Roman Reigns, he may end up being champion for 8 years before they finally find somebody worthy to beat him. They've done a very poor job of building up credible babyfaces to beat Roman Reigns. Dried Chicken, Jay White or Will Ospreay should try to recruit Private Party to their faction once Big Money Matt is out of the picture. Jay White and Will Ospreay, two more names that I would love to see on AEW television. I think we will see them. I think we absolutely will see them, both of them, on AEW. Will Ospreay also, I'm going to be calling his match on Friday night. Big main event, The Amazing Red. One-on-one against Will Ospreay, the real IWGP Heavyweight Champion, as he calls himself. It is Red Ospreay Part 2, Friday night, House of Glory. Jamin John, most disappointing wrestling dream match. Shawn Michaels against Mr. Perfect at SummerSlam 93, or Bret Hart against Sting at Halloween Havoc 98. I don't really remember the Bret Hart-Sting match at Halloween Havoc. I do remember Shawn Michaels and Mr. Perfect being disappointing, even back as a younger fan where I wasn't hung up so much on work rate per se. It was disappointing and a very lackluster finish to that match also. Bulu Fatulu, better stoner duo, Craig and Smokey from Friday or Seth Rogen and James Franco from Pineapple Express? I will go Pineapple Express. Stephen Chapa with the $9.99. Thank you, Stephen. Have fun doing commentary at Hog this Friday. Thanks in advance for the content this upcoming weekend. Well, you are quite welcome, sir. Bulu. Keep or delete Bret Hart in 1997 or DDP in 1997? Who had the better year? DDP had a breakout year for sure, but man, Bret Hart in 1997, oh, I can't vote against that. Arguably, Brett's best year. I prefer Brett, you know, in ring. I prefer 93-94 Bret Hart, ring-wise. Had a lot of great matches those years. But Bret Hart in 1997, in terms of the story arc of his character, in terms of the Hart Foundation, in terms of that WrestleMania match and the feud with Steve Austin, and the U.S. against Canada, and the Canadian Stampede, and obviously it didn't end well for him in Montreal, but boy, you know, you, how do you vote against Bret Hart in 97? I mean, come on. Bulu says, would you rather fight Indians with Nick Cage or fight Penguins with Steven Seagal? Bulu, I don't know what drugs you are on, but they are very strong. They're very powerful. Very powerful narcotics, and I want you, please, to read the label. Do not take more than you are prescribed. Penguins with Steven Seagal. I don't get the reference there. Did he do a penguin movie? Was he the penguin in some fan-made Batman movie that I never saw? I cannot... Although Steven Seagal looks like a fucking penguin. He is... He's definitely bigger than he used to be. I don't want to be doing either one of those things. Nick Grasso, what Shawn Michaels dream match would you want to see more? Bryan Danielson or AJ Styles? AJ Styles. Tuxedo T. Servo. Best of luck on Friday. Well, thank you. I don't need no luck. But thank you. Joseph Brooks. Buy or sell on which of these dream matches would you rather see more? Undertaker against Sting. Double retirement. Gee, I wonder where he got that idea from. It's almost like he was listening to a certain podcast where that very idea was pitched. Or Bret Hart against Kurt Angle, Iron Man match. Oh, man. I don't need to see Bret Hart and Kurt in an Iron Man match. I just take Bret Hart against Kurt Angle one-on-one where I don't know, you know, the finish could come out of nowhere. When you tell people that they're going to go 60 minutes, I think it actually hurts the match. Oh, boy. You know, Bret against Kurt... Bret against Kurt. Even if it's Iron Man match, I'd go Bret against, in their prime, Bret against Kurt. Bulu Fatulu. Keep or delete, drink cocoa with Samuel L. Jackson or Morgan Freeman. I would say Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman has the voice of God. I would just sit there drinking my tea or cocoa. And just listen to him. I mean, I would put the fucking the phone book or the dictionary in front of him and just let him read it. You know? Fire Panda, hot take. You should interview Undertaker for the 15-year anniversary of the podcast. You know, Undertaker has done so many interviews at this point. I don't have anything left to ask him. Undertaker did no interviews for years. And all of a sudden, ever since he did that documentary, the whole Last Ride thing, he's been interviewed everywhere. I have nothing else to ask The Undertaker. Jackalope Music, Star Wars, Star Trek, and the MCU have numerous shows built from scratch to cater to kids. Not sure if there is a demand, but buy or sell on a modern Mucha Lucha equivalent as part of AEW's product mix. Mucha Lucha? No. I don't think that's necessary. That's my answer. Jamin John, any shoots or stories on Billy Gunn's 1999 push? Is The Rock kills Billy Gunn's push with a single promo? They tried to push Billy Gunn. They made him the King of the Ring, and Billy Gunn was not somebody who was really ready for that kind of push. He was not over. Like a Steve Austin. He was not over like a Rock. He was not over like an Undertaker. He's a good athlete. Big guy. Good tag team wrestler. But he was in way over his head. Magician Sapphire. if O'Reilly really is on his way to AEW, then that Danielson-O'Reilly match is going to be effing nuts. Yes, it will be. Bryan Danielson against Kyle O'Reilly. There's a match I hadn't really thought about. Bulu, man, Bulu is all over the place tonight. This Bulu actually has a wrestling question here. Worst run as a heel, Goldberg in 2000 or Sting in 1999? Both were ill-advised. People didn't want to boo Sting. People did not want to boo Bill Goldberg. Turning Goldberg heel is about the dumbest thing, though, that they ever did, I think, that year. Outside of Russo putting the title on himself. So I would go with Goldberg as a heel. Bulu also says, better 80s bully. Biff from Back to the Future or Johnny from The Karate Kid? I'm going to go with Biff. Biff Tannen. Why don't you make like a tree and get out of here? Bulu says, better Punisher, Thomas Jane 2004 or John Bernthal? It's Bernthal, not Barenthal, by the way. I didn't see Barenthal as the Punisher. I saw Thomas Jane, so I guess by default, I would probably go with him. Epsilon Samo, what's going on? $5 super chat from Epsilon. The bad guy wins until the end, where the hero overcomes. That's basic storytelling, and it works since ancient times, and it works today, including wrestling. Yes, I agree. Very good point. Bulu, better feuds, Cena against Edge or Triple H against The Rock? Triple H against The Rock. I was really looking forward to having one more match between them at WrestleMania 32 in Dallas, and was disappointed when it didn't happen. Dry Chicken, do you see the Acclaimed pissing off white people? Like the same way that Jim Cornette telling New Jack and the Gangstas and Smoky Mountain Rat. Whoa. Those are two completely different things. I don't see any comparison between the Acclaimed and AEW or what Cornette had the Gangstas doing in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Without getting into all the different things that the Gangstas were going out there and saying and doing and, you know, talking about O.J. Simpson, you know, shout out to my boy O.J., you know, that's two less that we got to worry about. I mean, the Acclaimed is not, it's not the same thing. So outside of them being black, I don't really see what the comparison is. I think you're reaching here with that one. Fire Panda 007, in your opinion, who is the most underrated wrestler in the business today? Underrated. Cesaro, you know, is rated pretty high. Underutilized is probably the better word for someone like him. But still underrated, I think. I would put him in the underrated category maybe also. I mean, the fact that this guy never held a world title, when I look at some of the other names who have been world champion, you know, it makes me very sad. I think of him. You know, there's a lot of people, I think, who are underutilized. You know what? I'll give you a name. I'll give you a name. In fact, we saw him on the show tonight. Dax Harwood. Because he is a tag team guy. But we saw him go out there with Pac tonight and have that great match. I don't know that he gets enough credit, I think, for being as good as he is at what he does. And Cash Wheeler, too, also very, very good. But Dax Harwood, you do hear a lot of good things about him, but I still think people look at him and they don't really appreciate him for how good he really is. King of Doug Style, just want to say thank you, Solomonster. Well, thank you, King of Doug Style. That's a very nice super chat. Boots with the $5. Which is more important in a wrestling match? Collar and elbow tie-up or Irish whip? Oh, the Irish whip. You don't send the guy into the ropes. How are you ever going to give him a back body drop? You know, how are you going to... There's so many moves that you wouldn't be able to do if you didn't whip the guy into the ropes. You don't need to do a collar and elbow tie-up. You got to do the Irish whip. Caligero Klotz. Hypothetically, Keith and Ember end up in AEW. What are three matchups for each of them that you would like to see? Ember Moon and Ruby Soho. Ember Moon and Serena Deeb. Ember Moon and Thunder Rosa. Keith Lee. I actually think Keith Lee and Wardlow one day would be a hell of a match. Keith Lee against Malakai Black. Keith Lee against Bryan Danielson. And I would probably also go with... We know the kind of match that Keith Lee and Adam Cole would have, because we saw them have it in NXT. So I could go with the easy answer and say Keith Lee and Adam Cole. But I would pick the other names I just mentioned as well. Dry chicken without flavor. Do you see Kenta against CM Punk on AEW or New Japan? Kenta wants the match. So it's just a matter of whether or not they think that it's a marketable enough match to do. Do you give it away on television? Does Punk want to go to Japan? If so, maybe he goes and works a match against Kenta on a big show like a Wrestle Kingdom or something. Kenta wants the match. So if he wants the match, it's up to Punk. The ball's in Punk's court. If he wants the match and Kenta wants the match, they'll make it happen at some point. So the fact that one of them has already gone on the record and said that they want the match tells me that at some point there's a pretty good chance we probably are going to get the match. You know, I said we'll get Bryan Danielson, and I'm convinced that Bryan Danielson will absolutely be in the G1, barring injury or something. He will be in the G1 Climax next year. Who's to say we don't have CM Punk? The thing with the G1 is it's a huge time requirement. And Punk and Bryan are two of the biggest stars in AEW, so that would require Tony Khan to allow them to go over there for an extended period of time and wrestle all of these matches. And it's a brutal schedule with the G1. It's a great, like, high risk of injury. I could see Tony Khan maybe putting his foot down and saying no. I would be surprised, though, if Danielson didn't enter the G1 next year. I just feel like he would want so badly to be part of the G1, at least once in his career. But it is a very big commitment, though. Physically, logistically, it would take him out of this country and off of AEW television for at least a few weeks. So I think we're all caught up now on your super chats. Those are some very interesting questions, especially from Bulu. But as I say every week, I read them all. That is my promise to you. Really quick here. You can follow me on Twitter. At Solomonster is my handle on there. For those of you who want to vote in the weekly Twitter poll. And we'll have another one for Full Gear as well. We always do for all the pay-per-views as well. So that is the place to go to vote. For those of you who are new here and may not be aware of that. Andrew Lima just dropped a $5 super chat. Thank you to Andrew. Let's see what Andrew has to say here. What is the come over here and threaten me soundbite from the intro to the sound off? It has been bugging me for years. That is Papa Monster. That is an old phone call. That we recorded, that is my father's voice. That was a real estate agent who was harassing us as many, many years ago when I was younger, who was calling and harassing us and harassing Mama Monster, actually. And one day, Papa Monster got really angry and said, let me answer the phone. So he answered the phone, and we got the whole call recorded, and it's very entertaining. And so that is what the soundbite is that you hear on the podcast every week. And I did that on purpose because I like having my mother's voice and my father's voice in the intro, because it makes them part of a permanent part of the show every week. It's just like a part of them that's with me, and it's part of the show, and I love it. And it's just funny for me to hear him, you know, basically go off on that guy. So there's your answer. Now you know. Right, now you know where that's from. And we have one more super chat here from Fire Panda 007. Who is the best overall wrestler in AEW? It's a loaded question. Bryan Danielson is on top of his game. How do you vote against somebody like him, the matches that he's been having, right? I mean, Danielson's the total package. I mean, are we talking matches? Are we talking promos? I mean, what are we talking here? Because he pretty much does it all. It is time for, I know, your favorite segment, yours and mine, Be the Booker, where we randomly book the WrestleMania main event using this Twitter generator from our good buddy, @ZinfamousHD. Give him a follow on Twitter, @ZinfamousHD. And we try to book a better WrestleMania main event than WWE does. It's totally random. I have no idea where it's going to land, which is what makes it so fun. Spin the wheel, make the deal. Let's see. Rob Van Dam, who never did get a WrestleMania main event, but he's about to. The only question is, who's he going to face? Rob Van Dam one-on-one in the WrestleMania main event against the Bastard Pac. Now there's a match. Prime RVD against Pac. I like it. I don't know about you guys, but I like it. That's a winner right there. Look at the scowl on that guy's face. He looks like he just walked into a room where somebody was eating egg salad. That's the exact look I have on my face whenever somebody is either making egg salad or eating egg salad. That is exactly the face that I'm. It's fucking disgusting. Keep that shit away from me. So anyway, I like that match. I'm a fan of that match. But now we switch over to the ladies. Right, what's good for one is good for the other. So we don't want to leave the ladies out of this. So now we pick a women's main event here for WrestleMania. And with the women, we land on Sable, Jim Cornette's favorite women's wrestler of all time, former women's champion and Playboy cover model herself, Mrs. Brock Lesnar, Sable. And who will Sable be going one-on-one against in the WrestleMania main event? Sable one-on-one with Shayna Baszler. I think I did pretty good this week. These are some marquee matches here. I mean, you take Sable back in the height of the Attitude Era. Sable was a star. I mean, Sable was outside of Austin and maybe Rock. I mean, Sable was legitimately one of the biggest stars in the entire company. And to put her in the ring with Shayna Baszler and have Shayna Baszler just beat the fuck out of her and then choke her out. I mean, what could be better for a women's WrestleMania main event? So I like it. I think I did good this week. We did good. There's your Be the Booker for this week. Proto Man says Sable is getting murdered. See, well, for those of you who don't like Sable, then you should love the idea of a Sable-Shayna Baszler match, because it would end pretty much the way that you would expect. She would put Sable to sleep. And then Shayna would have to contend with Brock Lesnar. But I think she could take him. I think she would have a fighting chance in there. Two former MMA fighters, Brock Lesnar and Shayna Baszler, one-on-one. Fire Panda 007 just wanted to say thank you for being a calming voice to listen to, and thank you for continuing the sound off for all these years. Well, Fire Panda, that is very kind of you to say. I have thoroughly enjoyed doing the show and will continue doing the show so long as it is fun and so long as you guys continue to listen and tune in each week. And the fact that I have, you know, been able to grow the show is a credit to all of you, because without you subscribing and subbing and super chatting and all that, this wouldn't be possible. Dry Chicken, I would be shocked if Eddie Kingston and CM Punk goes to a time limit draw at Full Gear to be extended or to extend their feud. Look, I think there'll be a rematch regardless of how the outcome goes. I think CM Punk is going to win. That doesn't mean that we still won't get a rematch on TV between him and Eddie Kingston. You could absolutely do a rematch, maybe with a stipulation. BG Thrilla, Hangman all day. Well, we know who he's voting for the pay-per-view on Sunday, or on Saturday, I should say. We know who he's pulling for in the main event. He's got the right idea. BG Thrilla, I like the way you think. Hangman all day. It's the only outcome is a Hangman win. Sable looked 20 years older than she actually was. She had a mature look to her. But she was a beautiful woman. She might still be. I haven't seen her. I guess it would have probably been the last UFC fight that Brock Lesnar had. I think she was there, but I don't know what she's looking like these days. But Beowulf says, Luna put over Sable and never got the credit she deserved. Yeah, it was very sad. They covered that on her Dark Side of the Ring episode, but she was very bothered by that. That nobody really gave her credit, or she never really got anything out of it for herself. It was all about Sable, and she was kind of overlooked. Bulu Fatulu, Omega's title reign is similar to Triple H's reign of terror in 2002 to 2004. I don't see it that way at all. I mean, a lot of those Raw shows from that era with Triple H as champion were fucking boring, so I don't feel the same about Dynamite. I haven't felt like Omega as champion has dragged the show down. So, just because somebody has a long title reign does not make it a reign of terror. Roman Reigns has been champion for over a year. I don't feel the same way about that I do Triple H's reign of terror from 2003 and 2004. Just because it's long does not make it a reign of terror. I would not compare the two. Roderick Welch. So if I get ExpressVPN, I can watch Full Gear on Fight, because I'm not confident buying in Bleacher Report. Plus, it doesn't seem like I'll be able to watch the replay for long. Hey, Hashway. Just popped up in the chat. Shout out to Hashway. I'm not sure. By the way, for those who are interested and want to give it a shot, we do have an ExpressVPN link and code in the description down below. You can get 3 extra months free if you sign up for ExpressVPN using our link. So if you're looking for a VPN for any reason, and you should be using one, I mean, it's a great thing to have just for security reasons, if nothing else, use ExpressVPN and you can get 3 extra months free when you use our link. So you'll find that down below. I don't know. Theoretically, yes, because it is going to be available on Fight in other countries. I don't know how the whole payment process would go, but in theory, it should work. I'm not sitting here trying it myself at the moment, so I can't tell you for sure, but I would think that it would work, yeah. And frankly, that's one of the reasons why a lot of people use VPNs to get around stuff like that. Dan Teller dropping $4.99. Thank you, Dan. Yeah, it used to be BR Live, and then they migrated everything over to the main Bleacher Report app. So I just hope there's no glitches and everything goes off without a hitch. I'm not looking to have any kind of peacock problems, hopefully, this weekend. Hopefully everything will run smoothly. Remember that last WWE pay-per-view where we had overlapping commentary with the English and Spanish announcers? I couldn't understand a word that was going on because they were literally playing the commentary for both at the same time. Yeah, Green, I mean, VPNs are not that hard. Look, from using ExpressVPN, and since they're also a sponsor, I'm more familiar with them than I am some of the other ones that are out there. Once you sign up, it's very simple. You choose your location that you want to spoof. You push a button, and that's it. You pick your location, your country, whatever it might be. You click one button, boom, it works. It worked every time that I would try something, so it's actually not that difficult if you want to give it a shot. Bulu, dropping five more. Edge, better heel than Triple H. Unpopular opinion. Triple H was a great heel. I don't want to make it sound like Triple H wasn't a great heel. He was. And I don't know that I would put Edge over him as a heel. I'd have to think about that one. That's not a slam dunk. Caligaro. WWE AEW Forbidden Door is open. What three AEW talent would you book to take the belt off of Roman Reigns? All right, so this is a total hypothetical now. AEW talent that I would book to take the belt off of Roman Reigns. Well, you know, look, I mean, Hangman Page is over to the AEW audience. Would he be over with the WWE audience? I think Hangman has to be on that list. He's definitely over. He's one of the most over baby faces in any of the major promotions right now. I think Hangman would be on that list. I'd give a nod to Darby, even though, you know, Darby obviously a smaller guy, but I would give a nod to Darby Allin. Give him some consideration, I think, for that role. Yeah, I keep coming back to Wardlow, though, like a babyface Wardlow. If he gets over the way that I think he will, I really think he could be a top babyface in that company. He could be like, I hate even using this comparison, but, like what Goldberg was to WCW, not at that level. I mean, that was a different time, and he was insanely over. But just that unstoppable force who goes in there and just wrecks shit. You know what I mean? And the fans, he doesn't have to go out and have long matches or anything like that. He just, he goes out there and beats people up and goes back to the locker room and puts on a mean face and gets over as a big badass. Trying to think who else from the AEW roster I would picture beating Roman Reigns, like believably beating Roman Reigns for the Universal title, like right now. You know, CM Punk. If CM Punk had gone back to WWE and not AEW, that would have been the match to do. You build to a Punk-Roman match, and there's a history there. Punk brought in the Shield. Yeah, dry chicken. I don't know if Sammy is ready for that spot yet. One day, but I don't know. Sammy Guevara beating Roman Reigns. I'd go Darby over Sammy right now. Gun to head, I'd probably go Darby over Sammy. David Wilson, Katrina and Mil Muertes back together on MLW. I saw that. I saw the casket match. There was a casket match on MLW television, and Carly, can't call her Katrina, so they call her Carly, is reunited with Mil Muertes. They are a great combo together. Twitch H. I use Sling TV and can buy the pay-per-view on that if I want. I don't know about other streaming apps. Maybe other people know. Beowulf says that Wardlow could be what Brian Cage should be. Yeah, Brian Cage has just completely been phased down. I would love to know the real reason why. Green says, what about turning Jungle Bot? Jungle Bot? Is that what he is? Is he an android? I am Jungle Bot. This is why I can cut promos. What about turning Jungle Bot heel in a few years? Completely, you guys are chatting too quickly here. Completely change his gimmick. Yeah, I mean, eventually Jungle Boy, you talk down the road, I could picture Jungle Boy cutting his hair, wearing a suit, coming out with Anna Jay, heel combo. I mean, you could completely overhaul his character. He's going to have to be a better promo, though, to carry it. He's definitely not ready for that. But I mean, 5 years from now, is Jungle Boy still going to be beating his chest and wearing the fucking loincloth and coming down to the ring? Probably not. Everybody has to evolve their character at some point. I don't think he's going to be running around with a dinosaur in 5 years. So, you know, even tonight, he got a little bit of 5 o'clock shadow going on. The announcers pointed out, you know, it looks like he's trying to grow a beard out or something. Eventually, you have a complete character overhaul and just completely change his entire gimmick. Fire Panda just wanted to wish JR good health and quick recovery from his skin cancer. Yes, he is starting radiation treatments for his skin cancer on his ankle. He's got a couple of other spots, I think, on his body, his back, somewhere he's going to have that looked at. Always get checked. Go to a dermatologist and get checked, especially if you are somebody who spends a lot of time in the sun, if you are older. If you like to go to the beach and lounge out, I'm telling you, man, the sun is brutal, especially if you're fair skinned. Make sure you get checked. Let somebody take a look, and even the tiniest thing could turn into something major. You don't want that to happen. Dan, thank you for the very nice words. Yeah, I know, Jay. I've interacted with Jay Aletto online. Good dude. Have I seen the movie Thursday starring Thomas Jane? Very underrated movie. It gives you Pulp Fiction vibes. Thursday. I've seen Friday. I've not seen Thursday. I've never even heard of that movie. Green says Hollywood Jack Perry. I'm telling you, you could do a total character overhaul. He can embrace, you know, he comes from a Hollywood family, right? His father and everything. Hollywood Jack Perry could only just be a few years away. But he's got to improve on promos to make it work, I think. But you put him and Anna Jay together as a combo? Nier says, hello, Solo, and chat, peace and love from Israel. So, welcome to Nier, joining us late here as I'm about to end the stream. He checks in with us. Do I think The Rock is returning at Survivor Series? WWE will not stop posting about him on social media. The reason they won't stop posting about him is because it is the 25-year anniversary of his debut at Survivor Series in 1996. So they're going to, you know, drive that into the ground as much as they can. No, I don't believe Rock is going to be, unless they're keeping it really hush-hush, I don't expect Rock to be doing anything with WWE anytime soon. I think he's a little too busy right now. He's already thrown cold water on the idea of a match with Roman Reigns next year. He claims he's open to it, but not for next year. I believe him. I think he is. I mean, look, there's been a lot of other big matches that he hasn't been able to do because of his schedule. So I believe he is busy. I don't think we're going to see it. They're going to have another name in mind to put Roman in there with a WrestleMania. And the only two names I could really think of, again, you're down to Brock Lesnar and you're down to Drew McIntyre. And I am not totally sold on Drew McIntyre being the guy to end the title run of Roman Reigns. Although they had an excellent match at Survivor Series last year. That Roman won, if I remember. I think Roman won the match. So Drew could come back, get his win back, win the championship. I think you got to do better than that, though. I don't know. I feel like there's got to be a better name out there to be that guy. Adonis said that I hear about Kevin Owens possibly turning heel. I've been pitching a Kevin Owens heel turn now for many, many weeks. What we saw at the end of Raw Monday night, I don't believe was a heel turn. So for the people who think he turned heel on Monday, I could be wrong. Maybe they go on the air next Monday and he's a heel. I didn't see that as a heel turn. I saw that as somebody who snapped, who was very frustrated, and I think they're building to an eventual triple threat with Big E, Kevin Owens, and Seth Rollins. I don't know that that was a heel turn. Yeah, Rock is doing Black Adam and Fast 10. Is he doing Fast 10? I thought he didn't want to work with Vin Diesel. I know Vin Diesel wants him back for another Fast movie, but I thought Rock and Vin Diesel were like oil and water. I thought that they didn't want to work together. Who do I think is going to leave WWE for Hollywood next? Sasha Banks. The Mandalorian was only part one. I don't believe that she's done. There's a lot more that she could be doing in Hollywood. I think they'll come calling for her soon enough. Is there a possibility for Kevin Owens to win the WWE title before he leaves? If he's leaving, no. They're gonna want a signed contract before they put a title on him. So the answer is no. Dry Chicken says, do you see Ricky Starks taking the AEW Diamond Ring? Also, which faction in AEW should be deleted? The Hardy Family Office. I'm no fan of the Dark Order, but I will go Hardy Family Office. The Diamond Ring, I don't know. Is the Diamond Ring even officially recognized anymore? I mean, are they doing a new one every year? I feel like they've just sort of, it's become a gimmick for MJF and nothing more. As long as he's got that FTW title, I don't think Ricky Starks is taking any Diamond Rings. And I'm convinced the reason we're not seeing Ricky Starks in the ring much is because he's still recovering from that broken neck that he suffered. You know, he came back within a few months, but I don't think he was fully healed. He barely wrestles. Got to be a reason for that. It has to be an injury reason. Abdul Rahman says, sing the OG SmackDown theme song to end the stream. I don't know what you're talking about. The OG SmackDown. I have no idea. I mean, surely you can't possibly be talking about the can't be talking about that song, could you? Is it possible? Gyro Splater, what is the likelihood of an AEW versus New Japan Wrestle Kingdom this year? Very, very low. Very, very low. To do that would require far too many AEW talents to be part of the show, where it would not be feasible for them to go to Japan, to be out of the country, to be off television. You could have one, maybe two AEW talents work Wrestle Kingdom, but to do a real like head-to-head supercard, there's no way. Logistically, it just doesn't work. Why would he allow any more than one or two people at a time to go work over there? He needs them here. I don't think it works. Not for Wrestle Kingdom. Maybe they could do something here on American soil if New Japan sends enough of their talents, maybe to the States. Yeah, Christian, I do. I do think we're going to see Okada. I don't know how long Okada is here for. I know he's here for the Battle in the Valley show this Saturday, but I don't know if he's going right back to Japan. You know, Minoru Suzuki stuck around for like a month, and he worked AEW, he worked GCW, he was all over the place. I'm kind of sad he went back to Japan before House of Glory started running shows again, because I would have personally pitched for them to try to bring in Suzuki for a House of Glory show. For me to be able to call a Suzuki main event, come on. But unfortunately, he had to go back home. He's like E.T. He had to beam himself back home. I don't know how long Okada's going to be here for. But I do think we're going to get him on AEW very soon. I think we're good on the questions for now. There's a lot of good stuff. A lot of good questions. A lot of good topics. I think that this was a very productive stream tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed Dynamite as much as I did. I thought it was a very strong go-home show. It's a very strong card on paper this Saturday. No Rampage stream on Friday night. Again, I'm going to be on the House of Glory show doing commentary, which you can watch live on Fight TV. I think it's $14.95 up on Fight TV. And that'll be on Friday night. But Saturday night, when the pay-per-view is over, come on back here to the channel. Hit that sub button when the event page goes up. You should get the notification for it. You can come back to the chat and hang out with us. And do hit that like button on your way out. And I think that about takes care of everything. Fire Panda says the dislikes are from Nancy Grace. It's not Nancy Grace. Remember what I called her. Her name is not Nancy Grace. Her name is Nancy Disgrace. That will always be her name, because the woman is an absolute disgrace. She is a disgrace to all humanity. I wanted to end the stream on a positive note, and now you have me going off on Nancy Disgrace. But she is. She's a witch. All right, guys. I will see you Saturday night, and maybe I'll even see some of you at the building, at the venue on Friday night for the Hog Show. But I'll see you for the Full Gear review Saturday night, late night on Saturday. Until then, take care, guys.